The yellow here is always powerful color, you know.
Mohammed Abdul Latif is describing one of his paintings. It's about a meter square and hangs on a wall in front of him. On a yellow background are cross hatches of turquoise and a black line drawing of a person with swirly eyes looking down at some fish.
You see the cybernetes, it's a kind of fish that lives in along the Nile.
His art is abstract, but it tells his story.
It's something representing Sudanese refugees, all the refugees, they are inside.
Inside, caught in a net, the tall, lanky 27-year-old left Sudan in 2016. He made his way to Libya and embarked on the now-too-familiar trip across the Mediterranean to Italy.
It was crazy while I'm crossing the sea.
He made it to the Netherlands, but was sent back to Italy after a few months. Then he crossed into France. He's been here now for 9 months and has applied for asylum. He's waiting for an answer. Abdul Latif was painting in Khartoum before he left. He says he was introduced to the art world through his uncle.
He was painting, doing drawings. I always was close to this world. It did started from there. 2014, I started like officially painting. I was painting with friends in Sudan in a private studio with two artists.
During his journey to Europe, he didn't paint at all. Once in France, though, he made a work for a show by refugee artists. He acquired some paints and made a piece by hanging a canvas on the wall of his small room in a refugee center outside of Paris.
Inside the room, it was difficult. It's not an atelier. It's not a place just for painting. The whole things, the psychology things, the work area, the environment, all those conditions together, it's necessary to paint.
Abdul Latif has since made three other works. They're hanging here in the studio he's been working in since July. It's at the Atelier des Artistes en Exil, which has been translated into English as the Agency of Artists in Exile. The atelier is 19 rooms on the first floor of a drab institutional building in the north of Paris, which used to host a training center for the post office. The rooms have been transformed into workshops, including 15 artist studios or rehearsal spaces for musicians, actors, or dancers.
Dance.
Co-founder Judith DePaul opens the door of the dance studio, a room that happened to have linoleum on the floor instead of the institutional carpet in the rest of the rooms.
We find this place in April, but there was nothing inside. So we ask the professional network to give some material, like table, like chairs.
DePaul says that this is a place for people to get artistic support, but also for them to get help with administrative paperwork, filing for asylum or residency papers, or even more basic than that.
We should not forget about the material question, because we have some people, they don't eat, they don't have money to pay for the transportation, and we have to find some solution to help them too.
This is not part of the atelier's core mission, but DePaul says she can't help somebody with their art until the basics are taken care of.
Because how the artist can work if he don't eat? So you have to think about very basic things.
DePaul founded the atelier with Ariel Sipel. They worked together before managing a 70-seat theater called Confluence. In the summer of 2015, they saw the refugee crisis unfolding in front of their eyes, people sleeping outside in makeshift camps on the northern edges of Paris, nowhere to go.
We very wanted to do something, and we think a long time, okay, we have to open the venue to host some refugees.
They turned some offices of their theater into rooms, adding showers and other amenities, and they hosted three people for several months, providing a roof over their heads as they got themselves situated in France. And then Confluence hosted a multidisciplinary festival last year, which included an exhibit of work by refugee artists. DePaul says it revealed a need.
We heard the difficulty of this artist to understand how his work in French, how it's possible to have some contact with a professional network.
DePaul and Sipel decided to create a more long-term support structure for artists. They founded the Atelier des Artistes en Exil in January of 2017. They found this space, offices, that will eventually be torn down, but whose landlord is happy for now to have them as tenants. Since it opened its doors officially in July, the atelier has connected with some 150 artists in exile, painters, sculptors, musicians, actors, choreographers, writers, even architects, giving them space to do their work in individual or shared studios, or supporting their applications to other institutions. DePaul says she feels an affinity with these refugee artists.
For me, there is a very big link between be an artist and be in exile.
People in exile, she says, are displaced.
You know, when you're an artist, you do like a displacement all the time. Your point of view, okay. The point of view of the audience. When you are in exile, it's like two-time displacement.
In a studio across the hall from Mohamed Abdul Latif, Wael Al-Kak, a composer and musician from Syria, is working on a piece of music. He sits in front of an array of electronic equipment. Buttons of all colors are flashing in the semi-darkness of the room. He's produced two albums with his band, an eight-person group called Neshama. Recently, he's been working on recreating some of the songs on his own, using synthesizers, drum machines, and his computer, so he can perform them when the other musicians aren't around.
Like one-man show. I use DJ stuff, but I'm not DJ at all. I use it like a musician. It's fusion, like it's freestyle.
Al-Kak discovered the atelier through a friend and has been working here just a few days. He's grateful to have it.
It's so difficult for a musician to find like place to practice because it's loud. It's always a problem with neighbors.
Al-Kak doesn't have a typical Syrian refugee story.
I left regular from Syria.
He left Damascus in 2010 to go live in Lebanon. He came to France 2 years later to master his first album. He ended up staying on an artist residency in Paris. Since the war in Syria has escalated, though, he has become something of an exile.
When I wanted to leave, I left. But what happened, it pushed me also to be outside. I don't have always the chance to be back in Syria. Now I don't behave as I left. No, now I have to leave.
Every artist's story is different here. Judith DePaul says there are two questions to ask of someone who wants to work here. Who is an exile? Who is an artist? Exile is a broad term, on purpose, she says, and pretty straightforward.
Being exile, it means you can't come back to your country. It's not depend of why you go in France. The government can be the difference between the economic reason and the political reason. Here we don't have to judge that. Well, the question of professional artist, it's a difficult question.
Here in France, she says there's a system, conservatories, art schools, professional networks.
If you take Syria, it's most of less the same structure. They have conservatories, they have a school of fine arts and blah, blah, blah. But if you take, for example, Sudan, there's nothing. So what's an artist? And in some countries, to be an artist, it means be very troubled with the government. So you have a lot of different stories.
The atelier, she says, isn't intended to help establish artists. In fact, there are even beginners here.
So the rules is like, okay, if we feel the person very, very, very want to do something, we have to give chance.
Most of the artists here are men. DePaul says there's a straightforward explanation.
If you see on the refugees' population, there is more men than women.
But she says the percentage of women artists is higher than the general population. About 30% of the artists associated here are women. The goal is to be able to help everyone to realize their professional goals, though there's a more basic goal as well.
The first success is when the artist say, okay, now I feel good. I can think about something else than the papers and the exile. And after that, okay, if you can find some concerts and some opportunity of exhibition, okay, yes, we are very happy. But the beginning is I can start to feel about something else and I can work on my specialty.
It's a portrait for the idea.
Back in his studio, Mohamed Abdul Latif describes another one of his paintings hanging on the wall. About a meter and a half square, there's a kind of ladder on the left and a line drawing on patches of color of a person with swirly eyes.
It's the hypnotizing, it's like a mesmerism for something, maybe music, maybe art, maybe law of nature, in politics, in religion, everything that you can imagine. So it's not a portrait for a human, it's an idea.
Abdul Latif comes here every day, even if it's a nearly two-hour trip from where he lives, because he says he needs to paint.
I need to keep working because when you work, you keep busy, you are controlling all your ideas, your feelings, everything, it's work. I was needed to express all what I have been through. I need colors, I need canvas to speak about my feelings. I speak through my painting.
Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.